have an older brother. He's in heaven with the Lord now. He's 2 years older than me. And when we were boys, we grew up in the Lutheran Church. And we were both confirmed there. And I remember, since he was confirmed before me, they had a service, and it was typical for them to have the young people that were being confirmed to sing a song. And I could see him up there singing this song. It was so out of character for him. And he led a very difficult life. And but he came to know the Lord, when he was 40, somewhere around there, 42 or something. And he passed away when he was 47. But he's with the Lord, and that song just brings back a memory. Memories are good, amen? They're good. Turn your Bibles to Genesis chapter 1. We're going to preach the whole Bible today. We'll start in verse 1. Boy, that would take a long time, wouldn't it? I know a friend of mine, a pastor friend of mine, preached Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, and he made a series out of it. And I don't know, 30, 40 messages. He preached on, you know, it starts out in the beginning, and he preached on that for a long time, and then God, he talked about God. There's so much here. But you probably know this verse, I would imagine. Everything starts in the book of Genesis. It's the seed book of the Bible. You have principles that are stated there that we just build on as we go through the scripture. Good and evil, etc., etc. But this is our foundation as believers. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And so we have a record of that creation. And it's real important. It's not evolution, it's creation. God spoke the worlds into existence. And we'll see that as we go through the scripture. That is not necessarily the message today, but it's certainly the foundation to it. So look with me at Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. It's always good to read and see. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. What a blessing. Father, bless your word today. I pray that it would encourage us, strengthen our faith, give us a joy, and help us. These are difficult times. We believe you. We believe your word. And I pray that you would just give us that foundation a little stronger today. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, the work of creation, that's God's work. And it does say that he did this in 6 days, because it says the evening and the morning were the first day, the evening and the morning were the second day, and goes right on till the seventh. And then it says, and God rested on that day. So we have 6 days of creation. I think that's important to realize it. That is brought out in more than Genesis. I'll just read one verse here. This is Exodus chapter 20 and verse 11. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. There are people that say, well, a day is with the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. Yeah, but the evening and the morning kind of clarifies that. Amen. Sun comes up, the sun goes down. But anyway, it's a record of his creation. And many, many times in chapter 1 it says, and God saw that it was good. When God creates, he blesses it. Amen? So that was God's work. In Mark chapter 7, in verse 37, the Bible says, he hath done all things well. And when you read about the creation in Genesis chapter 1 and other places, you find there are two elements at work. One is the Word of God. By the power of his Word, he creates everything. And the other is the Spirit of God. The Spirit moved upon the face of the waters. And so we have those two principles. God, we sang holy, 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 the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, because in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the same was came into the world, and he died for our sins, but he's called the Word of God. And so we see that from the scripture. But Revelation, the next to the last chapter, and it bleeds into the last chapter, Revelation 21:5. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. This is the future. This is prophetical. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. Something happened between Genesis chapter 1 and Revelation chapter 22. And the Bible says in Romans 5:12, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Before the fall of man, in the original creation, Adam and Eve were innocent. Amen? There was no sin. But all these years, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So all men are sinners, all men need a Savior. And the Bible is this wonderful story about the redemption of mankind. And then God's promise for our future. I'm glad we have a promise like that. Amen? I'm glad I know what's coming. He's going to make all things new, and we'll certainly see that today in the Bible. Mark chapter 10, verse 6. But from the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female, man and wife, right? And so that is a marriage according to the Bible. God made them from the creation, male and female. There are things going on today that certainly don't line up with the scriptures. Amen? Amen? I mean, it just doesn't line up like that. But what God creates, the devil corrupts. He does. And I like to eat, you like to eat, but if we eat too much, we're gluttons. Amen? Well, I think that's a matter of opinion. It probably is. Amen? 10 hamburgers is probably gluttony, but not 9. You know, I mean, everybody has their own limit. I like to sleep, but if you sleep too much, you're called a sluggard, right? And so there's all kinds of things like that in the world that are good, but they can become bad. In heaven, there will be no more sin. Right now, it's the nasty now and now, but then it'll be the sweet by and by. And here's the promises. This is what God says. But right now, Romans 8:22, for we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of the body. That's what Paul said in Romans. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? The things I don't want to do, I end up doing. The things I want to do, I don't do. Who's going to deliver me? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so we have that promise that we're not going to be in this sinful body for all eternity. Amen? That we're going to have a sinless, perfect body when the Lord takes us. Isaiah 65:17, this is future. God says, for behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come into mind. It's good to have a lapse in memory when we go to heaven. Amen. There's things we are not going to remember, because that would trouble us for all eternity. 2 Peter 3:13, nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness, no sin. That which worketh abomination or whatever will not enter into heaven, the Bible tells us in Revelation. Revelation 21:1, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. One day we will enjoy creation, life, eternal life, as God wanted it to be in the beginning. Amen? No sin. Perfect fellowship with Almighty God. That is ahead for us. That's a good thing. That'll make you want to do a handstand, right, Richard? Try to. Okay, that's good. So one day we'll enjoy that. Creation is God's work. Recreation, if you want to term that, is God's work also. Jeremiah 32:17. Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth. It says, by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. If God created, that's why Genesis 1:1 is important. If God created everything, nothing is too hard for him. Amen? Unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Above, well, you can't comprehend it, but God knows, and God obviously has accomplished this. If God has that kind of a power, then the promises of God will all be fulfilled. Hebrews 11:3. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. He spoke the worlds into existence. He didn't take some substance and remake it and then throw it out in space. He created it. Amen? The things that we see aren't made with things which do appear. He just spoke them into existence. We have John 1:3. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. The verses are endless. I just want to give you a few of them so you have a reference point. Colossians 1:16. For by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And so that's pretty inclusive. I mean, it takes everything in, and it says God created all that. Man was created by God. The new man is created by God. Because there are fallen men, men that have fallen into sin. And so God wants to rescue them from the penalty of sin, from the power of sin, and one day from the presence of sin. The Bible says that in those three things. So that's what's ahead for us. We are redeemed as Christians from the power of sin. And so that's the new man. We'll see that. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Ephesians 4:24, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. There's a newness. We are born again. It's a new life. It's an abundant life. Amen. It's eternal life. You have Revelation 4:11. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. That's what man was made for. You have Philippians 2:13. I know I got a lot of scripture here because I didn't have time to study. Amen. Philippians 2:13. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure, because that's what we were created for. So God is at work in us to accomplish what he created us for. And after the fall of man, man wasn't interested in pleasing God. He was interested in pleasing himself. And that's in 2 Timothy chapter 3. Going after the pleasures of this world. So God, with the new man, with a new life, with a new nature, amen, gets us back on track, and I live my life to please God. Amen. And one day it will be worth it all. We'll cast our crowns at his feet. In 1 Corinthians 12, it talks about the church. And God hath put every member in the church as it hath pleased him. So God brings an assembly together and we all unite. I preached on unity, fellowship, one mind, one accord, one spirit. These are all facets of the same diamond. Amen. They all make the church glow. And so here we are. We're working to make the church a place where God is honored, where people can hear the gospel and God can be pleased with that. Do you believe in creation? Yeah, you believe in creation. I can tell that you do. Amen. Do you believe in salvation? Yeah, we believe in salvation. We've trusted Christ as our Savior. And then do we believe in sanctification? Something that's sanctified is set apart for God's use. Set apart, that's what sanctify means. There were vessels in the Old Testament that were used in the temple. They were sanctified. We talk about sanctified and meet for the master's use, talking about our bodies being vessels. We're not our own, we're bought with a price. Therefore, we glorify God in our body and our spirit, which belong to him. Amen? Because that pleases him. And that's the work that God is doing in our hearts and in our life. Sometimes we don't want to do that. That's where the struggle comes in. That's where we lose the joy. That's where we lose the power, because it's God that worketh in us to do these things. In Psalm 51, you might want to turn over there. You don't have to, but you can. I think we'll look at a few verses there. Psalm 51. David had sinned, a great sin, a number of great sins. It says in Samuel, when kings go forth to battle, David tarried at Jerusalem. He wasn't where he was supposed to be. He looked, he saw Bathsheba, he lusted after her. He was the king. He took advantage of that power and that authority, had her come, committed adultery with her. one of his men, Uriah, one of the valiant men protecting the kingdom, was married to Uriah. And so David, to cover his sin, had Uriah come back from the battle and wanted to get him drunk so he would go into his wife because she became pregnant. And he wouldn't do it. He was too honorable. He says, my fellow soldiers are out there. I'm not going to be at ease at home. I'm going to sleep out here. I won't be with my wife. So David had to devise another plan. This is David, the man after God's own heart, the sweet psalmist of Israel. I'm telling you, we're capable of anything. And so David says, well, this is what we'll do. And he got his captain. And he says, put Uriah at the forefront of the hottest battle. That's suicide. That's certain death. He's going to die. He did that. So David took the man's wife, tried to get him drunk, and then finally had him killed. And you know the story, if you've read it, how Nathan the prophet, is that right? Nathan the prophet came and said, thou art the man, David. And then David gets right. This is Psalm 51. That's a great, great sin that David committed. But this is Psalm 51. And in verse 10 of Psalm 51, here's what David prays. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me and restore unto me the joy of my salvation. How did he start that? With creation. You'll never have a right spirit if God doesn't work in the heart. It's God that worketh in our hearts. Amen? So create, renew, and restore. And God is able to do that. But look at Psalm 51. This was David's repentance. And we'll read a little bit more about David. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, the only, have I sinned, and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. That's his desire. I want to be clean. I want to be clean. He says in verse 8, make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. A reference to that is Psalm 32. Hide thy face from my sins. Blot out mine iniquities, all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Uphold me with thy free spirit. And it goes on, and it's all good. Amen. It's all good to read Psalm 51. It's good to read it once in a while. But that is David, and that's his repentance. In Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 9, Jeremiah said, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Without God's help, without God working in us to do his will, without God giving us his word and his thoughts and his direction, man goes astray. Man follows the flesh. Man follows his own reasoning. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy, vain deceit, the traditions of men, the rudiments of the world, not after Christ. And it's all out there. And it's all calling to us. And we go human reasoning against the scriptures, against God's wisdom. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Some people don't even see. They don't even know. They think, oh, there's nothing wrong with this. But we come back to the scripture, because create in me a clean heart, O God. It's righteousness. It's holiness. That's important for us to have the right spirit. I don't want to grieve the Spirit of God or quench the Spirit of God. I want to be filled with the Spirit of God. Amen? Because that's love and joy and peace. You have all of those things. So here's the answer. Psalm 139, verse 23 and 24. Search me, O God, and try me. And know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. How does he do that? With this book. with his word. Amen? Creation, the word, and the spirit. Recreation, the word, and the spirit. Jesus is the word, and the spirit guides us into all truth, but we're born again of the spirit. So, but you can't have the renewing of the spirit without the cleansing, without the washing in the blood. Amen? It's just a wonderful, wonderful truth. God can do that. He can manifest to us what is right and what is wrong. Well, I'm only going to do what I feel like doing or what's fun. Well, that's the world. And I'm not saying you can't have fun as a Christian. Amen? You can eat 5 donuts. I've done it many, many times without guilt. Amen? No, well, maybe a little shame because the person I was around was saying, you eating 5 donuts? But you know what I'm talking about. Isaiah 57:19. This is so good. You know, when you just let God have your life, amen, you just turn it over to God, he can do so much because he's all-powerful. If he's made the heaven and the earth, there's nothing too hard for him. You have Isaiah 57:19. God says this, I create the fruit of the lips. So we'll wonder what that means. I create the fruit of the lips. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. If you have things coming out here that aren't in line with the scripture, that's not God. Amen? So David said in the Psalms, set a watch over my mouth, Lord. Set a watch there because I don't want to. But the better thing is not, well, I better not say it. I know what I want to say, but I better not say it. No, go back a little further. Create in me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit. Give me the joy of my salvation. Then he creates the fruit of thy lips, the fruit of the spirit, love, joy, peace, all of those things. Amen. It's such a blessing to know that he can do that. And he can do that. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. In John chapter 15 and verse 5, Jesus said, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. He creates that, right? And without me, ye can do nothing. So I can do all things or I can do nothing. It has to do spiritually. I mean, you can go change a tire on a car and be lost. Amen? But to do anything spiritual that's real, I can do that through Christ my Lord. Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That's faith in the word. We put our faith in the word and that's what makes it work. And then God can create something in us. Now remember, God creates by his power, which is using the word and the spirit. Can God do that or God can do that? So there's two ways to think. Can God or God can. And now the message. Short message. Lot of foundation. But if we ever grasp that if I turn my life over to God and don't do the things that I want to do or please me, but you can do for God and that will please you. It just pleases the spirit maybe and not the flesh. God's creation has fallen. The whole creation groaneth and travaileth, and we ourselves also. And we're waiting for the day of redemption. And so God says, my creation has fallen, but I will make all things new. Amen. Amen. His nation has fallen. I want you to turn to Ezekiel. Ezekiel 37. Ezekiel 37. God's nation has fallen. And we'll begin reading here. This is the story, the picture of the restoration of Israel. And it's about the Valley of Dry Bones. But I want you to notice something as we read this. In verse 1 of Ezekiel chapter 37, the hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones. And caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, they were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. You ever feel real dry? You know, We know the experience. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, Prophesy unto these bones, say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Boy, that's a good place to start. That's where healing starts. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. When I beheld, lo, the sinews and flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them, had form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Then said he unto me, Prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, Thus saith the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood up upon their feet in the an exceeding great army. Then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, Our bones are dried, our hope is lost, we are cut off from our parts. Great place to be. Great place to be. Job, I've heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. Job, David repented. Paul repented. When we come to the place where we recognize, oh no, I'm not dry, I'm just as excited as it could be, I just enjoy serving Lord. When we're dry, we're dry. And there's only one thing that's going to change that, and that's the Spirit of God. It says, Therefore, verse 12, prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel, and ye shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. Then ye shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. We listen to the word, and then the Spirit comes, and it takes away the dryness. It gives us life because God is filling us. What a blessing. His church has fallen. His nation has fallen, and so he called out the church. We have the story of that in the New Testament. Turn your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. The church has fallen. The church is not the same in many respects as the church was in the book of Acts. We go to the epistles and we see how that the church functioned and how God used it and how God instructed it and how the people of the church just were of one heart and one mind. And when they weren't, God sent them a message so that they would be. Because unity, a threefold cord is not quickly broken. And it's the unity, it's the encouragement one to another that keeps us strong for the Lord. But this is what it says, verse 1 of chapter 3, 2 Timothy chapter 3. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady. I mean, what a list. Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. And so in chapter 4, Paul says, preach the word. That's the answer, Timothy. Preach the word. This is the way it's going to be. For the time will come that they will not endure sound doctrine, but heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. And he says, but do the work of an evangelist. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. And listen to the list. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. It's not meanness. A reproof is a gentle admonition. A rebuke is a little stronger. But everything is there, correction, instruction. It all comes from the word. God said, preach the whole counsel of God. Amen? So you have to talk about everything because God wants a pure church. How does he do that? Through the Word and through the Spirit. The Word gives us the truth, and the Spirit enables us to follow that Word. And then the church grows. What a blessing. The people, God's people, have fallen. Isaiah 58, boy. Well, won't take the time to read that. Hosea 13:9. O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself, but in me is thine help. In John chapter 9, Jesus healed a blind man. And he didn't know all about the debates from the Pharisees and everybody else. All he knew was, once I was blind, now I can see. Amen? And only God could do that for him. And then the Pharisees said toward the end of the chapter, are we blind also? And he says, if you were blind, you could see. But since you say, we see, therefore you'll remain blind. The heart is deceitful above all things. It's desperately wicked. Who can know it? We are blind to some things. And so God gives us the light of his word. Amen? This is so wonderful and so important. We look in the Bible and it guides us. It turns the light on. It opens our eyes. Paul calls it in Ephesians being enlightened. Being enlightened with the word of God. Psalm 85:6. Wilt thou not revive us again that thy people may rejoice in thee? Amen, Lynn? Lynn went to a revival recently. It was 40 days and 40 nights. And all they had was water to drink, but they had a good time. Amen? And a revival, they used to have old-time revival meetings. Why do we need revive? So that we could rejoice. Create in me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit. Amen? Restore the joy of my salvation. And I just can't wait to get to church. And what's God going to say? Not the preacher. What's God going to say to me today? And I want to search the scriptures to see whether those things are so. And when you do that, it doesn't matter. I could get it off. I could get it wrong. I could spend too much time on one thing and not another. But when you go and you get in the Word of God, God speaks to you. Amen? Amen. Psalm 51:7. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Before the renewal, before the restoration, you have to be cleansed. What an unclean heart David had. If you read Psalm 32, that's the same as Psalm 51, but you can see the pain that he went through. No comfort. He hid that sin until Nathan the prophet came along, and he got right with God. In the pulpit commentary, the Bible says this, in asking both for a new heart and a new spirit, requests of renovation of his entire mental and moral nature, which he recognizes as corrupt and depraved. How could a man do what he did? How could somebody, you know, if you lust after a woman, you've committed adultery already in your heart, right? If you hate your brother, it's like murder. It's like killing murder. Malice is the difference. That's ill will. No, we need goodwill toward all men. So all of these things can come in our mind and our heart, and we say, God, help me. Memorize the Bible. Amen. That's how Jesus defeated the devil. So many truths that just pop. I create the fruit of thy lips. Matthew Henry said, and when the lips are open, what should they speak but the praises of God for his forgiving mercy? Not critical, not judgmental, not condemning, right? We speak this mercy and this truth. I think it starts in Psalm 146, and you can check that out later. Praise ye the Lord, first verse, ends with praise ye the Lord. Psalm 147, praise ye the Lord, ends with praise ye the Lord. 148, I think we know what you're going to say, preacher. You're just going to keep going. Yeah, but praise ye the Lord, praise ye the Lord. 149, praise ye the Lord, praise ye the Lord. 150, praise ye the Lord, praise ye the Lord. David is praising God because God has been merciful to him. God be merciful to me, a sinner. Boy, when you get a handle on how good God's been to you, it's easy to be good to other people. When God's been merciful to you, it's easy to be merciful to other people. He's so, so good to us. And you will know them by their fruits, the Bible says. By the fruit of the Spirit and by the fruit of their lips. Now, Now comes the sermon. I'm kidding. Smile, everybody smile. It's a new year. I like new, don't you? You know, a new chance, a new opportunity. Every morning I get up, there are new mercies. Man, you were a mess yesterday. That's okay. There's new mercies. Isn't that a blessing? I mean, you just don't find that out in the world. People hold things. They hold them against you. You can never... Anyway, they hold things against you. But now it's new mercies. And he's faithful every night. I think that's just such a blessing. What has God created in you? You think about that. Because it's God. If God didn't save you, you sure didn't save yourself. Well, but I gave a lot and I did a lot. No, that won't do it. It's only God that does that. And so what did God create in you? Well, he created, I'm going to do the right thing. Oh, there's so much more than that. You know, there's created me a clean heart, but then renew a right spirit. What do you want God to create in you? I'm tired of being dry. I just want that praise in my heart. I want that. He can do that. He is able to do that. In Exodus chapter 12 and verse 2, this is the Passover. They're coming out of Egypt. The lamb was killed. The blood was on the doorpost. And when God saw the blood, he passed over the Passover. Even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us, speaking of our salvation. Amen. Okay, this is Exodus 12, verse 2. God says, this month, I think it was the fourth month of the year, this month shall be unto you the beginnings of months. The beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. I'm changing the calendar. I'm going to change your calendar. This month of Passover, that starts something new for you. New for the nation. Amen. Revival, holiness, joy, comfort, receiving and giving mercy, humility, kindness, etc., 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 has a beginning. And it's all new. I watched the TV last night and I celebrated, and you know, I watched when the ball dropped in New York, and you know, it was midnight. Linda and I went to bed at 8. Amen. Something dropped a long time before 12 o'clock, but just couldn't stay awake. But you don't have to wait. Okay, now I'm going on a diet. Yeah, for a week or, you know, whatever. But anyway, people use it as a new beginning. I'm gonna say that date, I'm going to start something new. We can do that spiritually any day. Any day. It doesn't have to go by the calendar. Amen? God can do something wonderful, wonderful today. They're all a result. All those things, those marvelous things, are the result of the Word of God and the Spirit of God. And when God works that in us, it's such a blessing. I know I've shown you this before, but go to Ephesians. Go to Ephesians. And I just want to read a couple verses. I want to put this together and have that in this message. Ephesians, and then get Colossians. Keep your hand in Ephesians and go to Colossians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 5. In Ephesians chapter 5, look with me. Oh, let's see. The end of verse 18 is be filled with the Spirit. Look at verse 19. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another, and then it goes into the home. Okay, that's being filled with the Spirit. Look at Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. And here's the same thing. Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father by him. And then there's submission again in the home. You have the same result. Being filled with the Spirit is being filled with the Word. Being filled with the Word is being filled with the Spirit. That's how God creates. He speaks. He makes something out of nothing. You might not have any desire for God, zero desire for God. But if you'll just come to the Word and say, Lord, I submit to this. I want this. Please create this in me. He can do that. There's no hard cases. Amen? There's no impossible cases. God can do that with absolutely anybody. It all has to do with the Word of God and the Spirit of God. R.C. Sproul wrote, "The fundamental loss of a desire for God is the heart of original sin. And when sin came into the world, it destroyed that relationship." So God wants a new creature, a new nature, a new birth. Behold, all things become new. Remember, and I'll close with this, in Numbers chapter 13, I believe it is, Israel had come out of Egypt, and they're looking to go in the land, and then Moses sends out 12 spies. There are 12 tribes, and the leader of every tribe went out to spy out the land. And, I won't turn there and read it, but they all went, and they came back with such a great report. The grapes and the sustenance that was there was such a blessing. It was a land flowing with milk and honey. That was Joshua and Caleb that said that. But the other ones said, we're not able to go in there. There's walled cities, there's chariots, there's giants in the land, and we are not able. Joshua and Caleb said, we are well able to go. You know what happened in chapter 14? They said, the 10 influenced the whole crowd, and they said, let's make us a captain and go back to Egypt. Where there we had the leeks, the garlics, and the onions. Yeah, but they forgot all the bondage and all the toil and all the heartache. And God did some house cleaning there. You know, the spies died, and then when they wandered in the wilderness, those that were a certain age and older died in the wilderness and could not go into the promised land. We come up to that. I think it's a point of decision. We come up to that. Is God able? Is God able? Can God change my life? Can God change my heart? Can God use me for His glory? Can God? Yes, God can. I can do all things through Christ. Without God, we can do nothing without Christ. So we come to that point, and if we say, no, we're not able to do that, then we wander, we just wander. But if we say, God can, ultimately, we go into the promised land. Amen? It's all there. It's all there. You can make out of this sermon, you can go a lot of different ways. Amen? But if God doesn't do it, it ain't going to get done. You know? If God doesn't mend your heart, if God doesn't fill you with the Spirit, if God doesn't show you mercy, it's just not going to come out. Because that's what He wants in all of us. Let's bow our heads, please. Heads bowed, eyes closed. If you want God to help you today, do something a little different. Small crowd. You may not want to do this, but they used to do this in the old days. They called it a sawdust trail. We don't have a sawdust trail. We have a carpet trail. And maybe you're not able to do this. But if you want, in just a minute, I'll pray. And then Cheryl will start playing, and then we'll just have an invitation. You come and ask God what you want Him to do in your heart for this new year. Just come to an altar, this altar, bow your knee, and ask God to help. Father, bless your word. We bow before you, Lord. Except the Lord build the house, we labor in vain that try to build it. Help us, Lord. Create it in us. Create it for us. For your glory, for your pleasure. And I pray that our new year would be such a blessing in our own personal lives. Bless our church, Lord. Bless our nation. For your glory, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.